Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Tops, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump Topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It is lit. It is week six. I am here with my co-host Tyler Gunther and Tim Keller. Woo, I am excited to be back in the chair of being the podcast host. I took a whole week off, boys. I didn't do anything fantasy football for a whole week. My body is refreshed. How have you guys been?
I'm going to need that after this week. I'm going to need to refresh my body. I'm going to need to bathe my sorrows in the Lake of Minnetonka, as many would say. It's been a rough week for me, but it feels good to have you back. That solo pod, oof, rough.
Hey, I do a solo pod every week. It's not easy.
What kind of feedback did you get on that, though, Tyler? I thought you did well.
That's the feedback I got. No great, which, I mean, that's what I shoot for. Hey, you were great. It was like, hey, you did all right.
You're okay.
Good job, little buddy.
I didn't turn it off halfway through.
Pretty much.
Congratulations. That's
what a lot of people said. Hey, you know, a lot of the pods, the one-on-one pods, you turn off within time because it's just rambling. And, I mean, I kept it short.
That's short and sweet. That's always
good.
To do it.
That's always good.
Yeah, it's hard to engage the listener with just a single voice. There's some people in the industry that are really, really good at it, and it just takes practice and time. So, Tyler, you know, maybe you'll start up your own solo pod called, like, I don't know, Tyler's Tide Pods or something, and, you know.
This one tastes like bubblegum.
This one made me puke.
I can't feel my tongue right now.
I would listen to that. So, I would definitely listen to that.
Right, oh, man, the Tide Pods, let's go ahead.
Let's go. Open them up with me. We'll do it together. So I just got back from Vegas. I had an amazing vacation with the wife. We went to a bunch of shows. I met a fan of the podcast while I was out there. Nice. My buddy Dan, who's a Dynasty Colossus, gave me a backstage tour of the Michael Jackson One show, which was pretty awesome. We got to go on the stage, check out the projector room, like give us the ins and outs on how everything's done. He works on the automation for the show, so that was extremely cool. So it was nice meeting a fan of the pod. He reached out to me and said, hey, I heard you're coming to Vegas, like, this is what I do. And I'm like, that'd be awesome. So we booked tickets and got a backstage tour, and it was phenomenal. And yeah, we hiked in the Red Rock Canyon, we drove out to Utah and Zion National Park and did some hiking with the wife. It was just a phenomenal week, just laid back, chill. We had an agenda, but we weren't sticking to like times, so it was very freestyle, which was good. So it was very relaxing. So I'm glad to be back, though.
Did you buy your wife like a 2-hour spa trip and then you magically disappear to a wonderful spot called the Bunny Ranch, perhaps?
I did not buy her any kind of spa trip, no. So I did not. Maybe next time. Maybe next time. I'll have to work on that. I'll have to butter up a little bit more. Yeah. Be like, yeah, I'm taking the car and I'm driving out here.
That's not what you do. That's what they do at the spa place. They butter her up.
Hey. I've heard about these happy endings. I've never had.
They're going to the wrong spots, Dougie.
I guess so. There's a bunch of them in Rhode Island, supposedly, but man, I got to look in deeper to it. That's my homework, and maybe I'll report back on the next podcast.
There you go.
Let's do that. Oh, so we got some news. We've got some injuries to go over. You know, nothing too bad this week, I think, but we do want to cover it because, you know, it could open up some playing opportunities for other players that might be deep on your dynasty benches, or they might be free agents available in your league. So let's go over some news and injuries. So we had a bunch of quarterback injuries today. First one, Case Keenum had a concussion. Everyone on Twitter was excited that Chad Kelly was in the game, and it was just temporary. Like, Twitter literally, like, blew its load all over the place and was like, Chad Kelly, bro! And it didn't really last long, and Case Keenum came right back. Josh Allen went out with an elbow injury, and Nathan Peterman came in. He threw a touchdown to Zay Jones, and then he threw
another touchdown
pick. He threw a touchdown to Jonathan Joseph to pretty much effectively end the game. So he Petermaned again.
Twice.
Five pick Peterman.
Yeah. Peterman twice.
Yeah, we had Derek Carr hurt his left arm. I've got conflicting reports from Tyler that it was a bicep, a forearm, an elbow.
He was pointing to his arm like a dude in Affliction t-shirt was trying to show his cross tattoo to people. Like, that's what he was doing.
Check out this sweet tribal, bro.
Pretty much.
I think he was just looking for a way out. Amari was out of the game at that point, and he was just – it's in this general area, Coach. Like, this whole area hurts a little bit, so we'll go with that for now.
He was pointing to his heart.
Yeah. It hurts here, right inside.
Because he plays the game with so much heart.
Yeah. Yep.
He almost had too much heart. And last but not least at the quarterback position, Baker Mayfield got banged up a handful of times. He went out of bounds awkwardly, kind of slid with his leg out straight. Looks like he might have like hyperextended something. He stayed in the game. Los Angeles' pass rush, the Chargers, their defense actually played well for the first time all season. They've been a disappointing defense if you play dynasty defenses. But Baker Mayfield didn't have a great game. That passing game was really tough. He had a late garbage time to David Njoku, which I liked because David Njoku is like my man crush, so it was cool. But yeah, Baker Mayfield was injured. We did not see Tyrod Taylor, thankfully. He toughed it out. So yeah, so we got some quarterback injuries, but nothing too major. At the wide receiver position, we had a couple early game injuries. Calvin Ridley left with an ankle, and then Mohamed Sanu also left that game with a hip injury. Tyler, who's the fourth receiver on the Falcons roster right now? Do you know? Is it Hardy?
Yeah, you got Hardy, and then you got Marvin Hall, and maybe they'll bring somebody in if they're serious, but I don't think they're too bad. So I could see maybe Ridley missing some time, but Sanu, I think he'll play. I mean, he's always had injuries, but has always played through.
Yeah, he's a bit of a warrior. And breaking news, Julio Jones still does not have a touchdown.
And he's still going to he might pass 2,000 yards receiving and not score a touchdown. Like, that legit could happen.
I think it's going to be fun to see the community rejoice once Julio breaks the plane and scores a touchdown this season.
Yeah.
It'll be in like week 12, but it'll be great.
Can I tell you, I don't care because he's still dominating everywhere else.
Oh, if you got him in PPR leagues, absolutely.
But the whole issue with him is what I noticed in today's game is they're doing a lot what they did in 2016. When they're in the red zone, they run. And Ito Smith has just had a nose for the end zone, and
three straight games now.
Yeah, he's looked good in the red zone, and just Julio's never in, and it's weird. They take him out, they run, and it just seems like Ito Smith's like, you know, Julio, stay there. I got this.
Here's the great thing about Julio Jones is, despite the lack of touchdowns, he's still so dominant, like Tyler said, that he's not that guy that you're playing that. Do I start him? Do I not start him? He's Julio. He's going to get you 100 plus yards. You put him in the game, he's going to get a bunch of catches. So then on that week, I want to say it was like week 7 or week 8 last year, same thing. He was putting up yards, not a ton of touchdowns. And then all of a sudden that week, he scores 2 touchdowns plus has all his catches and all his yards. He has that 45 point blow up week. Yeah, that's the good thing about Julio. He's not this guy that's getting you, you know, 100 yards this game, 30 yards
the
next.
3 for 23 the next, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's consistent even without the touchdowns. So he remains in your starting lineup, so you're going to catch that big blow-up week, and it will come.
Yep.
Yes, and then we got some smaller wide receiver injuries. We've got Ryan Grant with an ankle. Quincy Enunwa had a fumble early in the game, which kind of killed
Cooper.
His fantasy. I'm kidding here. Quincy Enunwa was out with an ankle injury, so Jermaine Kearse had a nice day, 9 for 90, I think, which was pretty nice. He might be available in some of your dynasty leagues as a guy that he had some run last year. He wasn't bad, so just keep an eye on that situation. Tavon Austin had a groin for the one play that he had. He's terrible. But the two big injuries at the wide receiver position, the first one I want to talk about is Cooper Kupp. I didn't get to see the injury, but I heard it was pretty gnarly. His leg got all sorts of buckled. And I think, Tyler, you described it earlier, so you can feel free to riff on this. But he was carted off the field, so everyone was like, oh, snap, literally.
Yeah,
so,
it
Tyler,
looked
bad. What did it look like?
It looked bad. It looked like he broke his leg. But the fact that he was coming back is nuts. It looked like his season was done. I even went on some league chats and said, hey, Kupp is probably done. Like, he looks like he's gone for the year. It sucked to see because he's having such a good year. And all of a sudden, hey, he could come back second half. It could be just a sprain. We don't know. He's probably going to have an MRI the following day on Monday. So you're probably listening to it and he's having it today. So just keep your eyes open. And maybe there's a little buy window if you're actually allowed trades. There could be a little buy window for Kupp as people are maybe panicking to find a receiver for a team that's, 5-0, 4-1. And they're like, crap, I lost one of my main receivers. Could be a time to deal for him, and then he's just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that strategy. You always try to buy low on a guy that might be injured. So definitely keep that in mind. And last but not least, an injury that happened today. And the reason I saved it for last, it wasn't that this is players having a huge impact in fantasy this year. It's Amari Cooper. Tyler joked about it earlier. He left the game with a concussion, I believe. He did not return. But there was news today before the game started that Amari Cooper is on the trade block, that the Raiders are trying to package Amari Cooper and Carl Joseph, who they drafted in the first round a couple years ago. He's a safety. Where would you like to see Amari Cooper get traded to, Tim? If there was a deal that was done, where would you like to see him dropped on a roster?
I never really gave that much thought, but if I had to say where do I want Amari Cooper to go right now, I'd want him to go to one of these forward-thinking offensive minds, that's for sure. Maybe a place like Tennessee, get Matt LaFleur there with him. Miami. I'd say New Orleans, but there's no way New Orleans is going to work that, that whole deal in. But,
right.
I would definitely like to see Amari go somewhere where you're going to have an offensive-minded either coordinator or head coach that's going to scheme him open.
How about Philadelphia?
I definitely wouldn't mind him in Philadelphia. That'd be great. I'd want to know what that package is. And right now we could definitely use the safety help. That's for sure in Philly.
So I've got an idea who has been wanting a receiver and needs a safety. And we're going to trade for Earl Thomas until he got hurt. Dallas.
It's the Dallas Cowboys.
It's like a perfect fit. They need a receiver and he fits kind of what they need. And they desperately need safety. They're going to give a second for Thomas. Carl Joseph, I think we all like. I love Carl Joseph. I think he's a great safety.
He's okay.
I think it's the team he plays for that isn't really making his talents known. But I think Amari would go good there. And then Cleveland. We all saw it today. They're starting undrafted rookies. Cleveland has picks and cap. They could use them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Cleveland. I mean, I saw a stat. It was between Callaway and Landry. They had like 19 targets, and they finished with 30 yards or something stupid.
Yeah,
it was really bad. That was if you had Jarvis Landry today in your lineups, you got to be pretty upset because a 2 for 20 on we had 10 targets, I think.
Yeah, not a good stat.
I agree. Cleveland would be a good spot for Amari Cooper. I like that one. That's a really good one. Because, like I said, Baker Mayfield, it looked good at first, when they had Josh Gordon. Whoops.
And the Jets, I mean, they could use a quote-unquote number one. I can't even say it. They could use a good receiver that has talent.
They have Terrell Pryor, though. He scored today.
He scores every game, it seems, now.
What are you going to do?
With stop the hype. Tyler brought up Dallas. The way Dallas and Oakland for now have been working this offseason to try to one-up each other. Like, would those two just try to, we'll give them away for next to nothing, but no, we're going to pay you heftily for this trade. You know, we want him that bad. Which side would just try to lose the deal even more?
Here's one that you didn't say. How about the Indianapolis Colts?
Ooh, they definitely need safety help and receiver help.
They need healthy bodies, period. But I think Amari Cooper with Andrew Luck would be pretty nice to see. I mean, especially if Hilton comes back with the two of those guys, plus you've got Doyle and Ebron at tight end. I don't know what's going on at the running back position there, but I think that would be a... I mean, Luck's throwing the ball 50 times a game. He's averaging, like, you know, almost 300 yards passing. I mean, a guy like Amari Cooper, I think, would make an immediate impact. I mean, not that the Colts are built to win this year, but Amari Cooper is on what, the... Is he on the last year of his rookie deal?
I believe so.
Yeah, so they pick up his fifth-year option. You know, and they start to slowly rebuild that team.
That one makes a lot of sense, actually, Doug, because he could come into that team, and with T.Y. and Luck's chemistry that they already have, he could easily just fill in that number two role. He doesn't have to try to worry about being the guy there. He doesn't have to try to be the stud. They can, you know, slowly introduce him to that offense, you know, and there's other than Ryan Grant, that's their number two. There's nobody else that would even kind of challenge him.
Chester Rogers, though.
Hey, yeah. He looks good.
Yeah. I picked him up in Scott Fishbowl and he scored me like 15 points the last 2 weeks each week. So I'm not complaining about Chester Rogers. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, Colts would be a nice spot for him. So before we move on to our kind of our freestyle observation portion of the podcast, I do want to tell you a little bit about Trophy Smack. Now, Tyler, you shared your pictures of the trophy that you got, and it is pretty sweet. And you showed us that you showed the ring too, right?
Yeah, I've gotten two trophies in for home leagues. I have the Mayo one. The Hold the Mayo is the league, is what it's called, is for my work because we work at the Mayo Clinic. And it's silver on silver pillars. It's awesome.
With a jar of mayonnaise on the top.
It's amazing. I love it. And then the League of 10,000 Lakes one that I have is a blue football with blue pillars. And that one is mint. I gave it to the champion on Friday. It sucked. And I just straight up told him, hey, you know, I'll see you in January. No problem. I'll come get it.
Nice. So I have a quick question for you, gentlemen, because we're in three different regions of the U.S. So what is the mayonnaise of choice in your household? Tim.
Hellman's.
Tyler.
Same.
We are Hellman's. We are the Triforce of Hellman's. I thought someone was going to say Miracle Whip and I was going to lose it.
Oh, God. No. Get out of here with Miracle Whip. If you put Miracle Whip on your sandwiches, you're putting dressing on them. It says dressing on the bottle. It's not even, not mayonnaise.
So if it is something like chicken salad, maybe Miracle Whip.
No.
That,
yeah. If you use mayonnaise, if you want to spice it up and season it somehow, you use those spices and those seasonings.
I will say, if you ever go to the grocery store, we had this one here in Virginia, and I never heard of it before. It's a brand called Duke's Mayonnaise. It's
my wife will occasionally get Duke's.
Yeah, I got a little thing of it because I'm a mayonnaise guy. Like, that's my condiment of choice, yep. Which freaks a lot of people out. And I'm like, why? Because it's white? Like, who cares? I got a little thing of Duke's and I was like, oh, this is, it wasn't Hellman's, but it was pretty good.
I'm all about
Duke's
mustard.
Duke's isn't bad.
Mustard.
Got a little yellow label on it.
See, I don't do mustard, man. I don't do mustard. I'll do a honey mustard, but not a regular straight up mustard. Blech. Anyway, we can talk about food another time, but make sure you go on to trophysmack.com and use code DHHRING to get that free fantasy football championship ring when you order a trophy from them. And be like Tyler, get multiple trophies, support the brand, and get free rings for your leagues today. Because if you order your trophy now, you won't have to worry about it later when the league's already done. See? You got to think ahead. I'm trying to save you time here.
Yep, and it ships free, free shipping as well, and you get it within a week.
Yeah, phenomenal turnaround these days. You know, shipping sometimes with companies can take forever, but no, they do it free and they do it fast, just how we like it. So let's get
into
some
observations. Isn't that always the worst, too? You buy a product, and then you get to that shipping part, and all of a sudden it's an extra $25.
Oof.
Oh.
And it's a huge box, especially the ones I got. I mean, you'd expect the shipping to be, like you said, $20, and it's not.
You know what's super annoying is when you buy something that's, like, relatively inexpensive. So there's I order my wife's underwear from a certain website, and they usually have deals where it's, like, $3 a pair. So I pick out, like, you know, six or seven, whatever. And then I get there, and the shipping's just as much as the goddamn underwear, and I get so mad. I'm like, There's no longer a deal here.
Exactly. I was getting a deal until I had to get it sent to me, and now it's no longer a deal. I might as well just go down to the local store and get it. It's like,
oh, congratulations. Your underwear, $21, and shipping is $12. And I'm like, really? So let's roll into some observations. Who wants to kick us off here? Tim, Tyler, speak now or forever hold your peace.
Go ahead, Tyler. So, Delvin Cook, we talked about this off camera, and Delvin Cook re-aggravated his hamstring during warm-ups. I don't know if it was like a complete, this is going to go back another 2 weeks or so. It might have just been a feeling Cook had. Who knows? With Fournette and Cook, you just want to see them play. I mean, I have Fournette in a couple leagues, and I'm sitting here freaking out because I want to see that guy play. And same with Delvin. I just traded for Delvin in a couple leagues, and I haven't been able to use him. So my thing is, when is the week where you're going to feel comfortable to play him? Are you going to be a week late on kind of their breakout game?
Ty, my question to you is, are you beginning to become concerned with the injury history now in his short career?
No. With Fournette, a little more than Cook. But with Cook, I think the reason why the hamstring happened is because of the ACL. I mean, you're going to kind of lean one way that you're not used to. You're going to know, like, when a hit's coming, you're going to kind of protect the knee, and you're going to run a little differently, and it's going to affect the way your legs...
Potential overcompensation just in the back of the mind type of thing.
And you're going to... You're more than likely to pull something. I know I listened to Stefania Bell, and that's what she said. That's what she was more worried about. She doesn't think he's injury prone, but it's more based off of the ACL happened, and he's going to put more pressure on one leg than the other because of the ACL until you're fully knowing mentally that you're 100%.
Yeah, I think the thing with Dalvin, because me who watched every Florida State college game that he participated in, he got a little bit of a knock in the combine for his shoulder issues in the past, but he was carrying the ball 250 plus times in the last two seasons of his Florida State career. He was the bell cow for them. He was the three down back. So I'm not concerned with the workload he tore his ACL and now the hamstring is related, like Tyler said. So I don't really have too many concerns about his long-term injury history here. But Fournette, he had an injury history throughout college with his ankles and legs. And, that's one of the reasons I don't own a single share of Leonard Fournette. I like watching him play and I like the player, but I don't own him anywhere, because he was a red flag from an injury perspective for me. So, when Fournette comes back, the Jaguars need him. I mean, they looked awful today against the Dallas Cowboys. Just absolutely atrocious.
You brought this up about the Jaguars and Fournette. With how well Yeldon has played with Fournette out, should the Jaguars maybe begin to do a thunder and lightning type combo with these two?
Yes, absolutely.
No. Really? I think Fournette is a volume player. He's like an AP. He's going to get 2 yards, 3 yards, and then he's going to have that 70-yard monster run. He needs the carries, and I think that's what's going to happen when he comes back, because he's going to get the carries.
Don't you think a Fournette in the fourth quarter on, let's say, 10 carries throughout the game versus a Fournette in the fourth quarter on 25 carries throughout the game, wouldn't that 10-carry Fournette just be even more fresh and be able to just run through those arm tackles even more at that point?
Well, here's the thing. So when he got back from that injury initially, which was not last week but the week before, I think, they gave him like 10 carries in the first quarter. So they were feeding Fournette, and then he re-aggravates the injury and then he's out. So I think that Jacksonville's goal has always been to feed Fournette and give him just a ton of work. Now, Yeldon has looked good. When he comes back and he's fully healthy, as much as we think that they should run a Fournette, Yeldon, Thunder and Lightning, I think Jacksonville, because Marone and Coughlin are old school guys, that you're just going to run Fournette continually. And I don't think that's what's best for him, but that's what their game plan is. They need to protect Blake Bortles from making mistakes in games.
Throws. They need to protect him from making
throws.
Here's
Blake Bortles in, in a, whatever. Here's Blake Bortles in a nutshell. He throws a beautiful touchdown pass to D.D. Westbrook over two defenders, and you're like, wow, that was a really nice throw. The very next play, on the very next drive, he throws an awful interception into, like, triple coverage, and you're like, dude, he's like Jekyll and Hyde. That's why they need to protect him with that run game.
Blake Bortles is the Dallas Cowboys of quarterbacks. Since we're on this game, I wanted to bring this up anyways. Blake Bortles is, I mean, the game he played against the Patriots earlier this year, he looked like a top 10 quarterback in this league.
Yep.
But then the very next week, he goes back to looking like Blake Bortles. The Cowboys this year, that offense at times has looked very good. It runs entirely through Ezekiel Elliott most games. But then the very next week, the Dallas Cowboys offense just cannot get anything going. The defense is playing very well week in and week out, I feel. There's some guys that probably don't get enough love and attention. But that Vander Esch, that linebacker for them, he's going to be a star in this league, I think.
He's good.
But, yeah, you see it this week. I mean, you took a very, very good Jaguars team. You held that offense to 7 points, which isn't too hard, like we said, with Bortles playing as bad as he did. But that Jaguars defense gave up 40. That's not something many teams can do. And
they gave up 30 last week, too. So that Jacksonville defense has some issues. So if you were worried about matchups with seeing Jacksonville on paper when you set your lineups, until they get that course corrected, I think you're okay to start the majority of the players against Jacksonville.
What do you guys think about the Dallas Cowboys this year and that offense? And what's, in your guys' minds, what's wrong with that team? What do they need to fix to find consistency?
I think Dak looked good, and much like Blake Bortles, Dak needs to be a game manager. So, I mean, he ran for 80 yards today, but he ran a smart 80 yards. Like, he was going through his reads, and then he would pull down and run. Now, there was some plays that were designed for him to run, and they worked well. So they were able to keep Jacksonville off balance. As far as the offense goes, I mean, Dak just needs some pass-catching playmakers.
Yep.
I mean, Cole Beasley looked good this week, but other than that, Cole Beasley hasn't done anything. And, you know, you had Gallup get a touchdown that got reversed. And it's going to run through Zeke.
Oof.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the offense is going to run through Zeke. He just doesn't have the talented pass catchers. He needs to play a very efficient game plan in order to be successful. If they get behind in games, Dak is not good.
Yep.
Because then he has to force the ball downfield, which is something that he's not comfortable doing because he doesn't have the type of personnel where he can be confident in doing that. And free Rico Gathers, please.
Well, he caught that one catch last week, and you saw Twitter start to blow up a little bit there, too.
Yeah.
The Rico Gathers.
I mean, he just looks like a totally different animal compared to Jeff Swaim and Blake Jarwin, to be completely honest.
Yeah, can you imagine this offense with a receiver? Like how we talked about Cooper, could you imagine them actually having a true one, and then Gallup can be the number two on the other side with Tavon Austin or Cole Beasley in the middle? That receiver core looks a lot better.
I mean, Dez's game wasn't done. Imagine just Dez still on this team.
Yeah.
Imagine Dez on a team.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Week six is over. He says he's going to sign soon. What do you think the percentage of the chances that Dez actually plays an NFL snap this year? 25%?
I'd say 50%. I think
I'd say 50-50 right now. Another couple of weeks, somebody's going to get desperate for a receiver.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, you would think so. I think he's still got some gas left in the tank. It's just curious to me. Like a talent like him has been on the street when guys like Rod Streeter are still in the league, right?
Yeah. How about the Jets today?
Huh? They putting up 42? They're a team. They're an up and down team too. One week they'll
Darnold.
Score 40 points. And then another week, they struggle. So the Jets are interesting.
Well, that kind of sounds like a rookie quarterback, though, doesn't it? One week, they're very good, and then the next week, they're just struggling. So we kind of see this team.
Some up and downs.
Yeah, the team kind of correlates with their quarterback play a little bit. But
Herndon. Herndon. Touchdown. He looked good.
Yeah. That touchdown, he looked really good. He's a guy that I feel like could still be in waivers on a lot of leagues. I know there's a couple leagues I'm in that I've kind of went right past them thinking, I've got a ton of tight ends on taxi. And he could be a guy that might be worth picking up and stashing
He's got a good athletic profile. He went to the University of Miami, which has a long history of productive tight ends.
Did he play basketball?
Did he? I don't know.
He had to have played in high school, right?
Let's just say he did.
Okay. then yeah.
I'm sure at some point in his life he's touched basketball, so we can confidently say he's played basketball.
He's probably played it in his backyard, you know, during the summer. I could see that happening.
Then sure. he's got the trifecta then.
Just sign him up. Tight end one, let's go.
He had a buddy down the street that had the one with the sand in the base and sat outside the driveway.
Of the adjustable?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You play in the street.
Yeah. He's to lower it way down and then dunk on it.
Get that confidence
break it
up.
And then say someone like broke it. You don't own up to it to your parents. And they go looking for Johnny down the street. And they're like, who broke it? You're like, Johnny. And they're like, I want to go get him. I want to talk to his parents.
I was always the guy that lowered it. And instead of dunking, I would just shoot threes.
Like from your eyes, just like shoot straight.
Rain dance.
Pretty much. Just laser shots.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about Jameis Winston today.
He tried to make that comeback happen.
Yeah, I think Jameis is a QB1 the rest of the way. And, you know, everyone was, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick was cool for a few weeks. And then, you know, Jameis Winston, it was a fun ride. The magic ran out in that Pittsburgh game towards the end. And then, you know, he had the start after that. And now that the bye is over, Jameis is in there. To me, he's a QB1. He looked great in the second half of last season. Now, I know he's going to throw some interceptions and have some turnovers, but the mere passing volume that he's going to have and the touchdown upside, he had four today in a game against the Falcons that was a pretty good back and forth. Yeah, he's got the weapons. He's got the weapons around him, and he looked great in the preseason now that Turd Cutter is not calling the plays. So I like Jameis quite a bit as a QB1 the rest of the way. What do you guys think on that? Tim, you seem to be backing that idea as well.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like you said, just on volume alone, he nearly had 400 yards today. Now, obviously, the Falcons defense is not playing up to what we thought the Falcons defense was going to be this year. But he should have, you know, those 250 to 300 yard games on a pretty regular basis. I don't think he's going to get four touchdowns every game, but you know, he's going to have his big ones. He's going to have his bad ones. I just wanted to mention that Ronald Jones caught all three of his targets this week. Three.
Oh, Tyler, I can hear Tyler getting aroused from here.
He only got one carry, but he caught three targets. All three of them.
So, I know Peyton Barber had a really good week, but
he had an okay week.
You gotta think that Rojo's going to get some carry. And it was a prime opportunity, and they didn't give him a chance. He's still young. That's what I am looking at. He's only 21 years old. He's super young. He'll get his chance. Peyton Barber is a guy that is more of a, okay, we'll use him until the kid's ready. Rojo is a guy he's still got to buy low on. I'm going to say it till I'm actually proved wrong on the field that he is not good. But he's not getting his chances. The thing that bugs me about Jameis, throw Mike Evans the ball more.
Yeah.
I mean, he typically targets Evans quite a bit. Just he didn't get a lot of opportunities today.
I'm talking like Fitzpatrick does. Like Fitzpatrick targets him like double digits. And
when Adam Humphries is getting one less target than Mike Evans, there's a problem.
Yes. Evans needs to get targeted more. When they're in the red zone, the guy's 6'5". And has a huge wingspan, catches everything.
Yeah, but he's also not a tight end, and that's what Jameis loves.
But yeah, Jameis loves his tight ends down by the red zone. Why doesn't he love a 6'5 receiver down by the end zone? I'm completely with Tyler here.
And the issue is, it was always, okay, Evans is on the outside, you're going to throw up a jump ball, more opportunities for interceptions. Evans is playing a lot in the slot now. They're moving him everywhere. There's nothing that you should be like, oh, well, this is happening. No, throw Evans the damn ball. Like, that's the only thing I wish Winston would do more.
See, I've never played NFL quarterback in a red zone, but I would have to imagine that the middle of the field in the red zone is a lot harder to read than the outside. You have all the linebackers, the safety, the linemen, zone coverage, man coverage. It's got to be a whole lot harder to read that than it's one-on-one on the outside. Like Tyler said, he's 6'5". And the guy can jump through most roofs. Put it up there. Let him go to work. Let him do his thing. He's going to come down with it more than he doesn't.
Maybe that's like, the same could be said for Julio Jones, who we talked about, right?
Doug,
like,
why do you hate Mike Evans?
I don't hate Mike Evans.
It sounds like you hate Mike Evans.
I love Mike Evans.
Then why are you not?
Why are you hating on him? Stop hating Mike Evans, Doug.
We're trying to help Mike Evans out, and you're just hating.
Well, maybe you should write the team a formal letter with a Dynasty Happy Hour, letterhead.
Letterhead.
Corporate. and say, hey, we talked about it on this week's podcast.
From the offices
and
of
we would
DHH.
Like to influence, yes.
Stop being stupid and throw Mike Evans the ball in the end zone.
I don't write letters, yeah. But I'll,
and then,
Tyler, I'll send
you
a
can
raven.
Put some, you can put some lipstick on it and then kiss the paper and then sign it.
I'll send a raven.
I'll send a raven. I can't wait for that to come back, by the way. Side note. So, yeah, I think Jameis looked really, really good today. He looks a little bit slimmer. He doesn't look as awkward in the pocket as he has in the past. They almost pulled that game off with that crazy play at the end there with the laterals. And DeSean Jackson just couldn't feel the knuckle puck and try to get it in there. But that would have been fun. Tyler would have been tilting all over the place if Tampa Bay pulled that off.
I honestly, when it happened, I wasn't thinking about it much. And then when they were down, I was like, oh, that was weird. And then I actually thought about it. I'm like, holy crap,
well,
they could have won.
Like, that could have just totally blown up the game. Absolutely. It's talk about blown up games. Did any of you guys see any highlights from the Tennessee game? There was none.
It was
so
ugly.
Bad.
What is wrong with Tennessee? Like, legit. Is
Tennessee,
LaFleur not that
Tennessee,
good?
Tennessee.
Like, is LaFleur really not that great? Like, you all see coaches from Belichick and Andy Reid. And some of them, yeah, they don't pan out. Like Belichick, Romeo Crennel.
Are you Belichick? It's Belichick.
Same thing.
Belichick.
But
he was
Romeo
putting an
Crennel,
E in there, or an I in there for the extra E.
Romeo Crennel did not pan out that well. And Bill O'Brien, still yet to be seen if he is any good. But is LaFleur kind of a guy that maybe isn't that good? He's not proven anything. I know with McVay, he didn't do any of the play calling. With Kyle Shanahan, he didn't do any play calling. So is he just a guy that was there?
Maybe if he had the combination of a head coach with some experience, things might go a little bit better for LaFleur. But here's the thing. Tennessee's Titans offense looks good 1 week, and then they're absolutely awful the week after that. So that's the thing that's frustrating is you see the potential of this offense. You see the Corey Davis going over 100 yards, catching a game-winning touchdown. You see Deion Lewis getting a lot of work. Like, it was just straight-up ugly. They got Mariota got sacked 11 times today.
I was going to say, this is like the first – the Baltimore Ravens have really looked good a lot of times over this year so far. So the Titans lost by a touchdown to the Dolphins. They won by a field goal at Houston, a field goal at Jacksonville, a field goal for Philly. They lost by a point to Buffalo. So they have 7 points or less have been either a win or a loss for them. They've been playing these tight games. Today, I just think they came up against a superior team that last week had their own struggles. I think Harbaugh was probably pretty tough on the guys this week, down there in Baltimore. And we saw it with Crabtree. Crabtree was dropping pass after pass last week. He had a heck of a game today. And Joe Flacco has been playing lights out so far this year.
Alex Collins scored a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah.
And out-snapped
Lamar
Buck
Jackson
Allen,
almost got one in. Lamar got pushed out at like the 2 or 3, I think.
Yeah, he did. But yeah, Alex Collins out-snapped Buck Allen by a wide margin. I think it was like – or out-touched him 17-4. So if you're an Alex Collins owner, you got to be feeling a little bit better about that. I mean, I know a lot of people are saying like, oh, Collins scored 2 touchdowns. Sell him now. I actually like Alex Collins as a player.
So yeah, it's going to get colder. It's going to get colder. They're going to need to run more. That's what Baltimore likes to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's definitely a buy.
Now, Doug, to lead into this, when you said about blown games, I thought you were going to the Bengals game where with mere seconds left on the clock, just blown coverage, bad coverage, good offensive play call. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But Antonio Brown catches a pass and goes untouched into the end zone. I believe there was like 5 seconds left on the clock at that point to give the Steelers the lead after the Bengals put together one hell of a drive to tie the game. So
Yeah, AB, that got me. I own Antonio Brown in a bunch of spots, so that made me very happy that happened that way. In this one, Juju goes over 100 yards again. Vance McDonald is a tight end one, which albeit isn't that difficult to do in today's NFL. But McDonald got peppered with targets. James Conner had a 2-touchdown game, which could have been a 3-touchdown game if they maybe reviewed that one where he was kind of off balance and spun into the end zone. It looked like he might have scored on that one, and then they ended up kicking a field goal. Yeah, the Bengals, though, Tyler Boyd, every week he's been rock solid. Tyler is happy about Tyler. As we all know that Tyler, has stashed Boyd in a bunch of places, and he's finally breaking out in a big way. You know, they keep getting injuries at the tight end position. So Tyler Kroft might need surgery on his foot. CJ Uzoma's there at tight end. So Tyler Boyd is just going to keep getting fed targets because they don't have a third receiver right now with no John Ross. You know, Mixon's obviously getting work in the passing game, and he got a late touchdown in this one, which helped his fantasy owner's day as well.
Yeah.
But this was kind of a fun game to watch. It was definitely back and forth. And yeah, that last Pittsburgh drive and that AB catch, and Juju made a couple nice catches in this one too. Like,
yes, he did.
I just smiled because I got Juju in a bunch of spots in the third round last year, and it just makes me smile to see him be successful throughout the process.
Tyler Boyd is doing exactly what I wanted Corey Coleman to do. Just didn't produce his first year at all. And then, you know, we would hope he would bloom into something. And, you know, obviously for Corey Coleman, it has not worked out. For Tyler Boyd, though, you know, there were plenty of people that were taking him in the first round of rookie drafts and then selling him off for whatever they could get just a year later. And now the people that were willing to buy at those deflated prices, Tyler Gunther, I'm looking at you, are reaping the benefits. I mean, Tyler Boyd is just consistent week in and week out, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 targets. And not only is he catching, but he's also scoring. So that makes him just a startable option for your lineups. It's great. And you got him at such a discounted rate than he would have just 12 months before you picked him up.
Yeah, there was a play when he was doing a cross route in the middle of the field and he snagged a ball that was behind him. And no joke, I go, ooh, AJ Green still got it. And then he stood up and it was Tyler Boyd. I'm like,
I know the exact play because I was sitting there, I'm like, God, good catch, AJ. Oh, they stand up from tackling him and he turns and is like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know Boyd had that in him.
He had great hands, and I think like he was a little iffy running down the middle, kind of had that deer in headlights sometimes. His rookie and second year kind of had the case of the dropsies or caught it with his body, and then it would slide up from under. He just does not care. He's in the middle of the field. He knows he's going to get hit, and he's going to catch it. His hands look fantastic.
I think this is what happens when you play with a professional like AJ Green, though.
Yep.
He can talk you through your struggles. Here's what you're doing wrong. And as long as that young player is willing to listen and willing to learn, he sat there and he studied his own teammate and learned from him to the point where he looks like AJ Green out there. They
yep.
play very similar styles of football, and that helps Andy Dalton out greatly. He loves that. What do you guys think of Mixon, though, this week? He only touched the ball with carries. I think he only got 10 or 11 carries. I thought he ran very well, though.
Oh, yeah. He dominated just since he needed to play a little catch-up.
Yep.
But, yeah, Mixon, if there's a positive game script, ooh, he is going to feast in the upcoming games if they are ever up.
I really, really like Mixon. But like Tyler said, you definitely need the Bengals to get out to that early lead. So he can just get fed, because on the touches he was getting against the Steelers, he looked very spry, those jump cuts, and then he's got power in that secondary. I love it.
Yeah. Sorry, I got sidetracked. I'm watching the box score for the Pats Chiefs game. It's getting pretty wild over there.
Whew.
Anywho.
Speaking of wild, how about that Dolphins overtime win?
Oh my
Brock's
God.
Over, baby.
Kenyon Drake coughing it up on the one in
at
overtime.
The half yard line.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this game's going to be over. Like, they're not going to recover from this. They ended up winning the game. You know, as we were talking about it before the podcast, the guy that won the millionaire maker on DraftKings started Brock Osweiler and Albert Wilson. Wow.
Yeah, you know you feel dirty about winning that.
Go buy a Mega Millions ticket. I think it's going to be like $650 million this coming week. So make sure that guy should go buy a ticket, because that is like, that's
the dumbest
even
of luck. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Good for
that's
you.
Not even skill. That's just like, oh, well, I'll throw this lineup together with Brock Osweiler and Albert Wilson. And you just won $500,000 tax
return. Yeah, he heard half hour before the game start that Tannehill was out. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to build a lineup with Albert Wilson just for shits.
Oh, so terrible. But yeah, that game, Devontae Parker, I've given up all hope. Are either of you guys still buying him, or are you just like done?
I actually picked him up off waivers in a home league. Somebody dropped him because he had 5 contract years on him still. So I picked him up. I had the cap. I had the contract years. And if he does not get traded before the trade deadline, I'm dropping him. Like, I picked him up hoping he goes to a different team and I have a sell opportunity, but that's it.
you know, that would be the perfect situation if he could go somewhere where there's like a alpha receiver that he could learn from. That would be good. Like is maybe he Calvin, maybe Calvin Ridley's injured for a while and he goes to Atlanta.
The whole thing on Devontae Parker so far in his career is he's the last guy in, the first guy to leave. He's got terrible work ethic. The second he gets even nicked up, he's, oh, I'm injured. I don't want to play.
He doesn't want it.
Yeah.
At least that's what it does. Sadly, the impression like, that we get.
For the past 2 years, I've been the guy buying up Devontae Parker shares at decreased prices. Just did you watch him at Louisville? The kid's going to hit. Maybe not. Yeah. The kid's got otherworldly talents that he's just not putting work behind, and it's just never going to work out until that switch gets flipped for him, and it may never get flipped at this point.
So sticking with this game, what are you guys doing with Jordan Howard? Are you guys scared right now? Or are you just like, I have him in a redraft league, and he was my flex starter today, and I won in that league regardless of Jarvis Landry and Jordan Howard. But it's going to be hard for me to start him every week. Tariq Cohen looks electric. Two straight weeks now. I mean, they had the bye week, but two straight games now. Tariq Cohen's gone over 100 yards.
Been featured.
Scored.
He's been featured.
Yeah, Jordan Howard. I mean, and he didn't do anything until in overtime he got some run, and he ended up with like
he
you
got
know
two big runs.
Two big runs.
He fumbled on the goal line as well. So that one play, if he doesn't fumble on the goal line going in, that's a 6-point swing, 8-point swing with the fumble loss. So again, going into this game, I'm thinking the Bears D, they're going to have a great game, Tannehill or no Tannehill. And then it's announced about 45 minutes to an hour before the game that Tannehill's out, Brock Osweiler's going. And I'm thinking that Bear D is going to shut down this Miami offense. Trubisky, he's not going to come out and throw 6 touchdowns again, I wouldn't think. But he's going to do enough that they're going to get the lead. And it's going to be the Jordan Howard show from halftime on, where they're just killing clock and letting the defense continue to shut down Miami. So I thought this was going to be a Jordan Howard game. And it just wasn't, not at all.
Yeah, he's another guy that looks like he's on the trade block for the Bears. I hope he gets traded too.
Who's their big guy then?
They don't have one.
I would maybe go get a Bo Scarborough. I don't know. Go get somebody. Because honestly, this offense looks way better with a guy like Tariq Cohen in the backfield.
But you need that. You need somebody on the goal line you can hand it to and hope they can just fall forward. You know,
there's players you could go find.
Is Kadeem Carey available?
he at least knows the city, right?
Yeah, Mike Gillisley. There you go.
I mean, they got Benny Cunningham.
Yeah, and Laquan Treadwell, he looked really good. It was probably the one game that in every asset of his game, he looked good. He was tenacious at run blocking. He caught, I think, 3 or 4 passes in the first half. But Chris route running had, you know, some confidence going. He looked good. He's a guy that, with Thielen and Diggs really playing at a Pro Bowl level at the moment, Adam Thielen, the wide receiver 1, who would have thought? I mean,
Adam Thielen's ridiculous right now.
Yeah. Like, before the pod, I pushed him up into the top 10 for dynasty rankings. He looks unstoppable. He's in the Julio Jones range. They're the same age. So, I mean, I think Thielen's actually a year younger. Why can't Thielen be up there with Julio? Especially with Cousins really targeting him.
Yeah, and it's getting so hard if you have Stephon Diggs on your teams because what should be like a Stephon Diggs week ends up being an Adam Thielen week every week. So
I actually want to sit down and watch the All-22 film of the Vikings and see how defenses are playing these two to see if it's Diggs is getting, you know, the number one defensive back's attention and that's allowing Thielen, to his credit, to eat off of these, you know, these number two DBs, which great. That's the, you know, that's the entire purpose of that number two wide receiver that can play football. If that number one's getting all that, you know, he's getting followed by the number one DB, you need your number two to eat. And that's what Thielen's doing. So I'd be interested to see if for some reason defenses decided to switch it up a little bit and switch sides, maybe follow Thielen for a game. If Diggs could then do this.
Oh, Diggs would eat then. I mean, that's the best part about Minnesota's offense is they have two receivers that are top 12 wide receivers in the NFL. And you got to pick. I mean, you have to pick. Patrick Peterson was on Diggs today. Adam Thielen ate. He got a lot of targets. Yeah. He looked great. He's one of the best route runners in the league. And
which,
that's not...
Which, by the way, I mean, this. I wanted to give Diggs a shout-out. This commercial's been out for weeks and weeks and weeks now, but his little commercial where everything's sticking to his hands.
The hands? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I still love it. I've seen it 100 times, but I still love it.
Sorry, I know I'm supposed to be hosting and keeping the flow going, but this Patriots.
Yeah, you got playoff baseball, you got the Pats. I know,
so,
I know.
I want to give an update on the Pats game. It's very close. We are going to wrap up here soon so Doug can get to his game, but I lost right now by 0.4 because Mahomes decided to go off, and Harrison Bunker, yes, kickers, decided to score almost 20 points because of the two long.
From all your leagues.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't think I play in one league that still has the two leagues that still have a kicker, and that's it.
I have Justin Tucker, and I'm
Dougie. Kicker. Wasn't it you that was high on Boone in the preseason?
Yeah. Well, Tyler liked him too, but I really liked Boone. Yeah.
Yep.
As a depth guy, that if you know Latavius is gone next year and he's backing up Dalvin between him and Rock Thomas, there that backfield's in really good shape.
Latavius had a good game today too. He ran very well.
Yeah, yeah, start your running backs against Arizona. They're they're susceptible
hashtag bad.
To they're hashtag bad against running backs, so don't be afraid. And luckily a lot of the leagues where I have Delvin Cook in, which is a handful, I have Latavius in, so it makes those lineup little flip flops easy. Because I was like, oh, yeah, I'll put Latavius in, and he scored 20 some odd points.
That's what sucks with my Fournette shares, is I don't have Yeldon. So that is an issue. And let's let this be the last thing we talk about. Sony Michel, who is over 100 yards again, is he?
He looks like a star.
So he is definitely getting pushed up for you.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Now that they've shown they're willing to give him a feature role, definitely. The whole concern with Sony Michel was everybody believed in the talent. Looking at his tape, seeing his work there in Georgia, nobody had their doubts about Sony's talent level. It was, oh God, the Pats drafted him. It's a muddled backfield. What are the Pats going to do? Now that they've given him that, a defined role week in and week out, why not? He's shown he can do it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the things have lined up for Sony Michel to be successful. So Jeremy Hill tore his ACL. Then Rex Burkhead goes on the IR with a neck/head injury. What I've seen from Michel is I do like what he's done. He's going over for 100 yards. He looks really, really good. Tom Brady just scored a touchdown. Let's go. So with Michel, though, I feel the cool thing that I like to see is, he missed all of the preseason. He missed the first couple games. So when I watch Sony Michel, he leaves some yards on the field just from a vision standpoint. And I think as he gets up to speed for the NFL game, I think he'll start to even break some longer runs, because you can see on some of his runs that the lanes that he takes, you're like, oh, he could have went that way. And I think he'll get there. But the one thing I love to see is that every time that they show him coming off the field, Ivan Fears, the running back coach, is talking to him every single time. He's not letting him walk by him and stand on the sideline. Ivan is talking to him when he comes off the field every single time. They've invested a lot in this kid.
What the coach is supposed to do.
And yeah, and the coach is on him, and he's teaching him as he goes. So we're just seeing the start of the breakthrough for Michel. And I mean, a lot of people say he broke out, but I think that he's even got potential to do even more, especially in this offense, as he gets up to game speed and really starts to learn more about the NFL game.
Yeah, that's why I said to you, Doug, it looks like he's a star in the making. Like, he's just beginning to really show us what he's capable of. And the more he learns, the more film he watches, and he sees that same thing where he's like, oh, man, I cut right when I should have just cut left. I had that other blocker over there, and I hit that sideline. I'm gone. And then in those game time decisions at that speed, he actually makes those correct decisions. He course corrects himself. He's going to start breaking those big ones off. I just wanted to ask you two real quick. Monday night, Green Bay, San Francisco, who you guys got?
Green Bay. And I'd like to see Equanimeous St. Brown kind of go up from the game he had last week. Hey, that run after catch, could you imagine a 6'5", 220-pound man running like that?
Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike Evans is not a run after the catch guy, and
see,
I think we
see,
can
now
all
he's
agree.
Trying to make up for that Mike Evans hater. Yeah.
I see what he's doing. Kiss
it's
ass.
It's a circle of life. It all comes around. But
I
want to
see Aaron
Jones
get feature work.
Yeah,
give him 20 touches.
I would love that more than just about anybody. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I would love.
I mean,
love,
I got him
love,
starting
love.
A ton of lineups too, so I kind of would like it for that reason. Yeah. But
Yeah, that is going to wrap us up this week on the Dynasty Happy Hour. But before we leave, we want to make sure when you're setting your lineups for next week, make sure you check out the Sit or Start Fantasy app. They were correct on over 11,000 comparisons, 71% of the time, best in the industry. So make sure you check out Sit or Start on the Android Google Play Store as well as the iTunes Store. I've been your host, Doug, with my co-hosts, Tim and Tyler. I'm going to go watch the rest of this Pats game and see if they can pull it off. We'll see you next week in Week 7 on Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.